It's an awesome privilege to be here. Let's just quickly stand. Let's just honor the King of Kings. Jesus, this morning, it's not about us, and we want to recognize that we've got an inability to make life happen without you, Jesus. And this morning, we want to ask you that you will be the main focus of this morning, and that you'll come and walk into our hearts. You'll speak to our storms, that you will speak to our circumstances, that you will be in our boat, and Jesus, that you will reveal your heart to us. Thank you, Jesus, that you walk the road with each one of us individually to such an extent that we can really be your children here on earth and be known as your children. It's a privilege. We're not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed of who you are. And we're certainly not ashamed to say that we are children of the Most High. And this morning we want to thank you for the privilege of being in your house. And God, what a privilege if we listen to what's happening in the Ukraine, Father. We recognize that there's so many, Father God, that must stand in faith for big breakthroughs. And this morning we pray in Jesus' name that you will come and visit that country. And Father, that you will reveal your blueprint to them, that the Christians will outwit the enemy, and that they will know the blueprint of where you are heading with all of this. Let them, Father God, be far ahead the enemy's plans in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys. Let's have a seat. I want to share a word with you that I shared with a few churches already, but I believe it's something that God is speaking to us, something dear to my heart, and I would presume to yours this morning. You know, sometimes you get to just a phase in your life where you recognize that you need God, like David. Just saying that, listen, God, I'm with my back against the wall, and I want to just serve you, and that is actually the best place to be at. That place where we can recognize that, Jesus, it's only with you that we will make life. You know, I want to this morning just share with you a word out of Esther, but specifically about Mordecai. Many times we talk about Esther's life, and it's amazing, and I'm going to share a few things about her as well. But, you know, what's so awesome about the story of Esther is the one of Mordecai understanding the will of God and being connected with his umbilical cord to the will of God. And I want to have you to turn to Esther 2, verse 15. If you have your Bibles here this morning, please rather read through the Bible with me than looking at the screen. I know it's a blessing always to have the screen here, but it's even more blessed to follow in where it is in the Bible. And I'm going to do a lot of scripture reading through Esther this morning. But I just want to give some background before I start to read the Word of God. This is in a time where there was a king, Ahasuerus, and he had a kingdom from Egypt all the way to India, big kingdom, which was also, you know, the Persian Empire and so many other areas of the Middle East. But a time where Ahasuerus was probably the biggest king on the earth at that stage, and he had a lot of provinces under him, with princes ruling over those provinces. And at this time, you see the picture of a king that, you know, loved a lot of parties. He had a party of 180 days. Now, I don't know about you, but 180 days of partying might be very long. I don't know if I would make it. I've seen a party in Stellenbosch this year, the Stellenbosch Wine Festival, and it was only a weekend, and it was terrible. My heart just quenched to see so many drunk people at once. I'm not yet to condemn the wine festival, but what I want to tell you is that 180 days of drinking might be too much. Okay. And this king, Ahasuerus, loved his parties. And at this time, he had this queen, Vashti, and he invited his queen one night when he was high in spirits. And he invited her to come, and she refused. And so he called his princess and he said, I want to inquire from you, what should I do with Queen Vashti? And immediately they responded and saying, listen, it's very easy. A powerful man like yourself will not allow this in his kingdom. We will send from our provinces the most beautiful woman, and for a year they will be tested, they will be beautified, and then you can choose the most beautiful queen to follow up on Queen Vashti. Now, you know what? This king, let me first read Esther 2, verse 15. Now, Esther was winning favor, verse 15, in the eyes of all who saw her. And when Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus into his royal palace in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign, the king loved Esther more than all the women. And she won grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And now you see this beautiful picture of a man called Mordecai that raised Esther by his own hand. He was actually her uncle. He took care of her. He raised her up in the ways of God. And then you see in Esther 2, verse 19. Now when the virgins were gathered together the second time, Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate. Esther had not made known her kindred or her people. And this is a beautiful part. As Mordecai had commanded her. For Esther obeyed Mordecai just as when she was brought up by him in those days. As Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bitten and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs who guarded the threshold, became angry and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And this came to the knowledge of Mordecai. And he told it to Queen Esther, and Esther told the king in the name of Mordecai. When the affair was investigated and found to be so, the men were both hanged on the gallows. And listen to this. And I want you to make a mark in your Bible if you can this morning. And it was recorded in the book of the Chronicles in the presence of the king. I will come back to that later on. Now, you see this picture of Mordecai raising up Esther, and a beautiful picture where he every day would go to the palace and he will make sure to intercede for her. He will make sure to nurture the seed that God has given him in his hand, that God has entrusted unto him. And then one day, these two guys came against the king, and he seemed it fit to then tell the king through Esther that these two men wanted to harm him. Now, after this, in Esther 4, verse 12, I quickly want to read that. And then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther. Quickly turn there. Chapter 4, verse 12 to 14. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. I just want to say it again. Relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for a time such as this. Now, many times we read the scripture, and I think we don't get the context of the previous sentence. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Now, you see this picture unfolds where this man Mordecai raised this daughter, even in the spirit, and saying, listen, there's great things that God has installed for you. There's awesome things that God wants to do through your life. And I want to raise you up to do such things. And you know what? The privilege is ours to serve God, because if we get onto His agenda, we have the privilege of experiencing the connection of the umbilical cord where God wants to bless us. And what he's saying to Esther is, Esther, you can either be the problem or the solution. The choice is yours. The choice lies fully in your hands, because God will not even be cross with you if you don't. But the blessing lies within the obedience in following God's call upon your life. Now, I want to tell you this morning, many times we think that our gifting is so special and that we are contributing so much to the kingdom that everything will fall apart when we are not there. And I can tell you, you know what? God is in control of his own kingdom, and I want to this morning state that, because in the kingdom, there's too many people that think that they are upholding the kingdom. And what's awesome is when you get to the realization that God's agenda is unfolding all over us and around us, and if we can see it, we can follow God and we can experience the blessing thereof. You know what? I've got this friend, Mac, as well. You will know Mac. He's one of those crazy pastors that just loves the Lord and loves people. And I phoned him the other day. They had their weekend off there in Claymont. And I phoned him and I said, Mac, what are you guys doing? And he said, I'm sitting here on a rock. My kids are jumping off the bridge here in Palmit River. That is things that young people do, believe me. I've done it when I was young, but I saw that bridge after years and years again, and I decided not to jump again. You realize that that is things that you only do when you're youthful. And you know what? He was sitting there on the rock, and I said, Max, so what are you doing while they're jumping off? Are you doing the same? He said, no, you know what? I'm sitting on this rock, and I'm busy asking God for every person sitting around and looking at the people jumping off, sitting and asking God for prophetic voices for them, prophetic utterances. And I'm praying it over their lives. I'm busy praying and interceding and asking God that they would please not miss the kingdom, that they will be on the agenda of God. And as I was talking to Mac, I just realized, you know, yeah, great Mac, I can just hear that you are in the spirit. You're doing awesome stuff for God. But such a revelation of who we should be in the kingdom. Being with our umbilical cords at the place where we always connect with God and understand where He's heading. Because if you get at that place, you find that contentment that leads you to a place where Mordecai can say, I don't know where this thing is heading. Remember, at this time, it was not as if Mordecai knew that God is going to raise his family to be known to all the generations to come. It was not as if Mordecai knew that Esther would fulfill and make the right choice, but he said, God, I know one thing. I know that you use window opportunities for us to make choices in life so that we will follow your agenda. And we, as the house of Mordecai, will not miss this moment. Esther, you will not miss this moment. I want to talk, I want to speak into your life. I want to tell you, it's time to get to the revelation of God's agenda. And you know what? I remember years ago, I actually, some of the people, it's so special to see people like Delesti and, you know, Derek and Rosita and, you know, all the old faces here. It's just amazing to see through the years the faithfulness that they've shown in the church. I was a young pastor when I came here, Yanni, my first sermon here in this church. And I remember those days, it was, I did internship at Stellenbosch, and after that, Pastor Fred said, just you guys, all of you, just go and work. Just make sure that you get some work experience. And that stage, I went and I got a job at EPSA in Belleville at the credit headquarters. And I went there and I worked at the headquarters. And every day I would drive through from Stellenbosch, leaving at about 5:30, I think, you know, from here. Took my wife to Northern Pole, which is the other side of Pole, Wellington side. And then early in the morning, she would sit there in the personnel room, the staff room. And then she would sit there when it's still dark. I would leave her there. Then I would get a lift club, and we would leave from there together, a few people, and then we'll go to Belleville. And I remember those days. Derek and Rosita will also remember. I probably cried on their shoulder. You know, hard times. But then at night when you get back from work, you know, picking her up at Northern Pole, when it's dark again, sitting at the school waiting for me, bringing her here, then the fun started. Then we started with foundations and all of the Bible school and so many other things, because my heart was just ticking for the ministry. I said, God, listen, I don't want to miss a thing. You know, I was just this morning thinking of those days that we had the projection with, what was it, Walk Through the Bible and all those things. You know, awesome stuff that God did, but then, you know, you get to a stage where you say, God, listen, I just want to be in the ministry. You know, I feel I'm wasting my time working at APSA. And I just feel, God, there's so many other things that we can do. And I remember one day standing there in APSA looking at Table Mountain, and probably one of the most important lessons that God told me. Looking at the mountain, and I said to God, God, please just deliver me from my circumstances here. I'm in this team in APSA at the credit headquarters, and I know why they employed me. From the beginning, they said to me, you know what? It's affirmative action, so within the next 10 years, just forget about any promotion. You're a white male. There's no chance that you'll get any promotion. But we can employ you if you're willing to wait for many years. And so I was standing there. I said, God, you know, it's going to be much greater in the ministry. And I'm in a team that is drunk every morning when they get to work, and I know why they employed me, is I'm the dominie of the team. I'm the only sober guy that would get there in the morning, and then I would, until 11 o'clock, draw all the information that we as a team needed, and by 11 when they are awake, then we can start to work. So I was just crying out to God, and I said, God, you know what? I don't want to be in this place. And God said to me, you know what? You will not leave this place until you find contentment within the season that I've called you. And something switched in my heart. Something switched within my heart to understand that when God puts something on your plate, that being faithful to that and understand the seasons and the agenda of God for your life makes sense. And you know what? Awesome things started to happen after that. Every morning, there was a few crazy guys that loved the Lord as well. We start to recognize, you know, one another and just praying together. And then in the morning, I said to them, you know what? You don't know what it's about, but we're going to take oil, and then we, you know, just anoint every seat of every manager in that building. We started to pray in the morning, and people got saved. You know, I remember my boss, they started to call me Domini, actually, in the team. the lift club started to call me their marriage counselor, even though I was only a year married. But it was awesome what God was starting to do when I had my head where God was at. And soon thereafter, God, I came to a place where they promoted me. I was the first one of 100 people employed that year that got promotion. And just when things were really starting to happen, and I said to God, God, you know what? I can do with this thing. God, you know, I can be a businessman. You're probably calling me to be a businessman because the salary starts to get very nice and big stuff is busy happening. God said, now you're ready to go into the ministry. You know what, guys? I want to tell you this morning. When you serve the purposes of God, You're in his agenda. You find contentment. And Mordecai says to Esther, you know what? You know this God that we are serving. He's not going to put pressure on you. He's not going to make life miserable because you are not on his page. But there's so many benefits of serving the king and being synchronized with his agenda. Trust God when you're with your back against the wall. Esther 3, verse 1 to 6. After these things, chapter 3, verse 1. After these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman the Agagite. Just an important point again. Just make a mark there. Promoted Haman the Agagite, the son of Hammedata, and advanced him and set his throne above all the officials who were with him. And all the king's servants who were at the king's gate bowed down and paid homage to Haman. For the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai did not bow down or pay homage. Again, a little mark that you can make. Then the king's servants who were at the king's gate said to Mordecai, why do you transgress the king's command? And when they spoke to him day after day and he would not listen to them, they told Haman, in order to see whether Mordecai's words would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow down or pay homage to him, Haman was filled with fury. But he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone. So as they had made known to him the people of Mordecai, Haman sought to destroy, and listen to this, make a mark, all the Jews. Because of one choice of one man, all the Jews would be persecuted. The people of Mordecai throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, I'll talk about the context just now. Turn to chapter 5, verse 9. I said we're going to read a lot. Esther 5, verse 9 to 14. And Haman went out that day, joyful and glad of heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he neither rose nor trembled before him, he was filled with wrath against Mordecai. Remember, the king's command was that they should bow to Haman at this stage. Mordecai did not do so. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home. And he sent and brought his friends and his wife Zeresh. And Haman recounted to them the splendor of his riches, the number of his sons, all the promotions with which the king had honored him, and how he had advanced him above all the officials and the servants of the king. Then Haman said, even Queen Esther, let no one but me come with the king to the feast she prepared. And tomorrow also I am invited by her together with the king. Yet all this is worth nothing to me as long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, let a gallows 50 cubits high be made. In the morning tell the king to have Mordecai hanged upon it. Then go joyful with the king to feast. This idea pleased Haman, and he had the gallows made. That was chapter 5, verse 9 to 14. Now I want to quickly jump to the next chapter. Are you still with me? Stay strong. On that night, the king could not sleep. Make a mark in your Bible. On that night, the king could not sleep. And he gave orders to bring the book of the memorable deeds, the Chronicles. Remember the Chronicles? And they were read before the king. Now, I don't know about you, but reading history books is not my way of getting to sleep at night. Getting to a place where, you know, you actually need some Milo or, you know, just some hot chocolate and go to sleep again. The king said, all of you, get up and start to read the history books. Listen to the rest. And they were read before the king. And it was found written This is very strange. The history books miraculously fell open at one story, and it was found written how Mordecai had told about Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, who guarded the threshold and who had sought to lay hands on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honor or distinction has been bestowed upon Mordecai for this?" The king's young men who attended him said, "Nothing has been done for him." Just keep that thought. I'm sorry. So now you see this picture of the king not sleeping at night, and then he asked them to come and read the chronicles, the history books. And then something happened. The king read again about this beautiful picture of a man called Mordecai that did such an honorable deed to him. And the next morning, as the king arose, there was a knock on the door. And now the story follows in verse 7. And it was Haman. And he said to the king, after the king asked him, "So what should I do with such an honorable man?" Not mentioning the name of Mordecai. "For the man whom the king delights to honor, let royal robes be brought, which the king has worn, thinking that it would be him, and the horse that the king has ridden, and on whose head a royal crown is set, and let the robes and the horse be handed over to one of the king's most noble officials. Let them dress the man whom the king over delights to honor, and let them lead him on the horse through the square of the city, proclaiming before him, 'Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor.'" Then the king said to Haman, "Hurry, take the robes and the horse, as you have said, and do so to Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. Leave out nothing that you have mentioned." So Haman took the robes and the horse and dressed Mordecai and led him through the square of the city, proclaiming before him, "Thus shall it be done to the man who the king delights to honor." Now this morning, I want to just say to you, Mordecai comes to a place where, you know, he's with his back against the wall, about to be hanged on the gallows. And here something happens in Mordecai's life which is so unexpected. God wakes up the king in the middle of the night so that he would remember what happened to him with a guy called Mordecai, and then he said, "Listen, I want to honor this guy." And I want to say to you, you know what? When we serve God's purposes, when we do what God is calling us to do, God rewards the faithful. At places where we don't expect it, times when we stand before God and we say, "God, I'm with my back against the wall, I don't know where this thing is going, and God says, "You know what? I just loves the people that follows my voice. I just loves the people that understand that my blueprint, my agenda is greater than their own lives." I want to say this morning, you know what? Israel was not fortunate to have a beautiful lady like Esther at a time such as this. Can I make that statement? Esther was very fortunate to be there at a time such as this. You know what? We are so fortunate to serve God's purposes and understand His purposes in the time that God is busy fulfilling it. And then God starts to bless us for the faithfulness that we show. I want to read this. "Testing will come to strip you from your calling." I want to say it again. "Testing will come to strip you from your calling. Your identity lies within God, not your calling. Tests strip us from our crutching on our own ability and identity in our calling. We must admit that God's plan, His vision, and it will not fail because of me." Are you with me this morning? Can I just get a wave there at the back? I know it's nice and hot inside. Some of you might be struggling this morning, but you need to get this message. You know what? We so often crutch on our ability and our calling, and we make so much out of our calling that we miss God altogether. Are you with me? We make such a fuss over our ability and our anointing to fulfill God's promises, and we're going to change the hour and the moment. God says, I can use anyone. You know, I loved what Reinhard Bonnke said years ago. He said, you know what? God came to me, he said, Reinhard, you know what? You're not the first choice. You're not even the second choice. You're actually the third choice, but you're the one that are obedient. And I want to bless you. And I want to say to you this morning, you know what? What a privilege to serve God. What a privilege to be here at a time such as this, when God is fulfilling His agenda all around us. I can tell you, faith, and I said it in this church before, faith is not one day. Faith is not one day I will do great exploits for God. Faith is not, you know, I've got this great calling upon my life and God wants to do awesome stuff. God is doing stuff in your life right now. You are missing it because you're not understanding His agenda. I say it so many times to the MTPs when they get there. I say, you know what? We miss God's intervention in our lives so often in everyday life. Because in the morning, you spend time with God and He shows you things. He says, today I will send my guardian angel and you know what? I will protect you. And then when you miss that car by so many inches, you can either decide, listen, this was coincidence, I was very lucky. Or when God pre-warned you, when God spoke to you and you're on His agenda, you would say, God, you're so faithful. And I can tell you, you know, you don't even know about the things that God is doing today in your life. Because when you're connected to His agenda, you would start to flow. You would start to see the things. You will start to get excited. And that's where God would say to Elisha, you know what? You don't see what I see. You don't see that those who are against you are fewer than those who are with you. Because you know what? You're not seeing my agenda. You're not seeing the things that I'm doing at this time. And I want to actually take you to a place where you will stand as a victor. But because you're not on my agenda, you only see the enemy. And I want to tell you, you know what? Life will always overwhelm you if you're not in the safe place. If you're not in the place where God starts to communicate and download to you and say, listen, today, now, I want to do something in your life. Do you know that when you leave this place today, God wants to do life with you? God wants to umbilical cord with you? God wants to bring His purposes to your life so that you will understand it, follow it, and get excited about life? Mordecai came to a place where he says, God, my calling is in your agenda. My calling is in understanding where you're moving, and I want to follow that. I want to say to you, you know what? God's blueprint for Franschhoek is much greater than your life. There's a contribution that you can make. But God wants you to choose life and say, listen, God, I want to be a co-worker. I want to be part of this kingdom. I know that God, you've raised me and put me here in Franschhoek for such a time as this. I want to fulfill your purposes. God had some unfinished business. I quickly want to get to that place. Esther 5 verse 1 to 3. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace in front of the king's quarters. While the king was sitting on the royal throne inside the throne room opposite the entrance to the palace. And when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court,
She won favor in his sight. And he held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. And the king said to her, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is it that you request? It shall be given to you, even to the half of my kingdom." And now we know the end of the story. Haman gets together with the queen after her request to the king was that we can get together, that we can eat together, Haman, the king, and Esther. And then she reveals the whole plan of Haman and to the king, and she says, "King, what are you going to do about this? All that I'm requesting, I don't want your kingdom, I don't want half of your kingdom. All that I'm asking you is that you will deal with Haman and that you will see his cruel deeds." And then in Esther 7, verse 9 to 10, quickly turn there. Esther 7, verse 9 to 10. Then Arbona, one of the eunuchs in attendance to the king, it's verse 9, said, "Moreover, the gallows that Haman was prepared for Mordecai, whose word saved the king, is standing at Haman's house, 50 cubits high." And the king said, "Hang him on that." So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. You know what? There's a much bigger story than just the story of Mordecai in this. This man called Haman was an Agagite. Agagite out of the tribe of King Agag, the king of the Amalekites during the rule of King Saul. And if you listen to this story, it's very clear that Mordecai was out of the tribe of Benjamin, which was the tribe of Saul, King Saul. Now, if you listen to this story, I can tell you this morning that this is quite interesting, because there's a reason why Mordecai would rather die than to bow down before the Agagite, Haman. Because there's a lifelong battle between the Jews and the Amalekites. Now, I want to mention that to you because King Saul had two things against him in the time of his rule. The one was that God said to him, "You will go against the Amalekites and you will make sure to kill all of them. You will not leave one of them alive, because they will be a thorn in your flesh, and therefore you will kill all of them." King Saul did not do that. This is years, years beyond the rule of King Saul. I can promise you that. That the story of Queen Esther is unfolding. The second thing that he got wrong is that when he went against the Amalekites, he took spoils, which God said you will never take when you go against the Amalekites. You will leave the spoils and you will come back empty-handed, so that you will be a blessed people, that you will not be contaminated by the spoils. Two things that went wrong. You know what? If you look at the history, you see that God had some unfinished business with the Amalekites. That in the midst of this story of King Ahasuerus, God says, "I want to revisit the history books because I want to deal with my adversaries." And I want to read you the end of that chapter 8, verse 16. Listen to this. The Jews had light. Verse 16 of chapter 8. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province, in every city, wherever the king's command and his edict reached, there was gladness and joy among the Jews. A feast and a holiday, the Yom Kippur as we know it. And many from the people of the country declared themselves Jews, for fear of the Jews had fallen upon them. Can I read that sentence again? And many from the peoples of the country declared themselves Jews, for fear of the Jews had fallen on them. Can I just rephrase it for Franchuk? Many from the people of the country declared themselves Christians, for fear of the Christians had fallen upon them. Guys, God's plan and purposes is much higher than ours. Can I just this morning make that statement so that it can be printed into your mind? That God has a much bigger plan for Franschhoek that is not even for this generation. But God is a multi-generational God. God had a plan greater than Queen Esther and Mordecai's life, and Mordecai knew it. He said, God, you are just awesome. I don't know where you're heading. I just know that my name and my family's name is not going to get out of the history books because of our disobedience. We will not be known as a people that don't follow your rule and your agenda in our lives. We will follow it wholeheartedly because we want to do what is on your mind. And God says to Mordecai, you know what? I will make my own name great. I will get people to get saved, to become Jews, to become my people because of your obedience. And you know what? There's a few things that I want to end off today that is important out of this sermon. The first one is, our lives serve as a living sacrifice to His purposes. I want to ask you this morning, what is on your plate? What is God giving you today? Not one day. Not, I have this great calling and God is going to do great things. What is God doing today in your life and through your life to fulfill His kingdom in Franschhoek and even beyond? Some of you might work in the city. But I promise you, God is sending you. God is asking you, go. Fulfill my command. See the things that I see and start to get part of it. And you know what? The second thing is, we can choose to miss out on God's plan for our lives. We can miss it as well. Was Israel lucky to have the beautiful Esther in their ranks? No, it was God's providence to give Esther the platform for a time such as this. The third thing, God blesses obedience and faithfulness. He will even keep the king from sleeping. You know what? One thing that I've settled with God years ago is that, God, I will never underestimate where the money will come from, where the resources will come from, where the solutions will come from, and how big it can be, because I know that you can do anything. Because your agenda is much greater than mine. Because we box God so much in our expectations and our faith, that we forget that it's God's agenda, it's His plan. And He wants to do awesome stuff. He wants to save this valley. He wants to bring people to this church so that they can experience the love of God. And then, God brings vengeance to His enemies. You don't execute. You don't touch anyone. You don't speak negative about them and against them. God will deal with your enemies. As long as you are in the secret place, God will deal with, and you will have enemies. I promise you. I was one of the few people that didn't have a lot of enemies until last year. And I've seen, you know, how the devil comes against you and you don't know what to do. But I know when you're with your back against the wall, God will defend you. God will do awesome stuff in the kingdom because it's His kingdom. His plan, number five, is stretch far beyond the here and now. We will not always understand why things is happening in this life. You know, you get questions these days, and it's legitimate questions. I mean, in the midst of pain, you ask very, very legitimate questions to God that's needed. But I can tell you one thing. I cannot tell you why some people are poor and why some people are rich. You know, when I walk into the places like where Brett is serving, in the squatter camps, you know, raising up beautiful children, you know, for the kingdom. Then you look at them and you think, you know, why in the midst of these circumstances did God not make them rich to start with? You know, just because God can. I don't know all the answers. And in the midst of the chaos that is ruling all over the earth, I was last weekend just astonished again. You know, to go and watch a movie, and I think I must just not go and watch movies, because these days there's not one movie that you can really rely on, except there was now one Christian movie that was quite good. Go and watch that. What's that guy that almost died in the sea? But you know what? We watched this movie, and it was just terrible how God was blasphemed from the beginning to the end. And, you know, morality was just, there was none existent. You know, sex was not even portrayed as a lustful thing. It's just filthy. You walk out of there and you think, you know, it was as if sex is just the ordinary, you know, thing that must happen in life. And I want to tell you, people of God, this morning, you know what? The times that we are walking in, it's perilous times. It's very difficult times, and I can tell you there's many Christians that are not standing in their faith in the midst of the storm. That's not seeing the Jesus in the boat. That's not saying that, listen, doesn't matter what's happening in the earth out there, I will focus on Jesus in the boat. He's doing awesome stuff. And you know what? We can choose to become negative and to focus on all the things that we don't get right, and all the things that we, as Christians, are failing to do. Or we can say, Jesus, you are doing awesome stuff in our midst, and your plan is still yes and amen. You're going to come back with a glorious cloud and a white horse. And you are in control of this life and the life coming after it. And you know, I want to say to you this morning, the sixth thing, let me first finish with this. God can't wait for us to be part of the solution. You know, God is so excited. He says that my plans, I said it the last time that I was here with you guys, my plans is great plans for you. It's plans to prosper you. It's plans to really, in the midst of your chaos, in the midst of the circumstances that you're in, I want to have you to find contentment, because I still have a plan. Let's stand this morning. Can I quickly get the... I want to ask you not to leave this morning, this place, before we just enter into a time of focusing on God. Oh, Rabba Siti Tiana Mama. Nia Rabbah Rabba Sikana Mama. Oh Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. And we want to declare, Jesus, that we don't want to receive any honor, because our flesh wants to take the honor. Our flesh wants to show to all the people that you are doing awesome stuff through us. And I know, Father, that Mordecai standing at the gate did not get any recognition, but he was faithful to the command of even the governance being set over him, because he understood you to be in the midst of his storm. And this morning I want to ask you in Jesus' name, that you will be in our storm. But, oh God, we want to focus our eyes rather on you, Jesus, in the boat, than on the storm itself. I want to ask for every person in this place this morning, Jesus, that you will come and visit them in their circumstances, Father God, that they will see the context of why you've called them in their circumstances into a time such as this. Oh, Rabasana, let's pray. Oh, Rabasana. Oh, Ramani, Rabasana.
Nerebiana. If you're a visitor here this morning and you don't know how to pray in tongues, just relax. If it's strange to you, just relax. You know, it might freak you out, but it's all right. You know, God is in control. We just need to connect with God. Oh, just pray in a known tongue then. Oh, Rabba Selebiara. Oh, Ramaha Jikirabara. Mama Selebiana. Never be an Amaramasukuramusekatekana. If you are here this morning and you know that the Holy Spirit is talking to you, where you're standing, and He's saying to you, you know what? It's time to get back to my agenda. It's time to get back to the place where you can follow my prompting, where you can see where I'm moving, not where you think I'm moving, where I'm moving. And I want you to raise your hand just where you're standing. This morning, you know, God wants to do something precious in your heart. This is between you and God. Oh, Rabbi. There's some more people that needs to get back into the agenda of God. Oh, Rabbi. Don't be afraid this morning. You just need to recognize Jesus. That's all that matters. If you raised your hand this morning, and I don't want to expose you, this is between you and God, but it's important that you make a memorial stone out of this, that you say, God, I want to choose this morning to be guided by you. Then I want you to quickly come to the front. Because this morning we're just going to pray with you. You're going to actually do your own praying toward God. Quickly, just come to the front. If you didn't raise your hand and you know that you must be here, people, don't leave this place and think that I'll leave here and I'll sort it out with God afterwards. You know what? I've got respect for that even. But one thing that I do know is that God loves you enough that He used little window opportunities like this just to realign us to His purposes. Is there anyone else? I just believe this morning is somebody that sits with a very hard, painful experience. Somebody that came against you and really it feels like a backstab. It feels like a lot of pain. And you're still trying to make, you know, sense out of it in what God wants to teach you in this these circumstances. But you know what? God this morning wants to visit your circumstances and He says, I love you. I want you to forgive. Because forgiving will free you up. If that is you, I want you to quickly come to the front. If you're already here in front, just give that indication to the person praying for you. Oh God, we walk with so many pain and sorrows in our lives, Father God, and backstabbing and relational hurts. This morning, Father, we ask that we will stand like Mordecai in front of you and say, listen, God, even though I'm going to the gallows, you certainly have a plan. In the name of Jesus, set us free, Father God, from our pain so that we will not walk in that pain for the rest of our lives. Free us up in Jesus' name. While we are praying for people here in front, I just want to ask, you know, the Christians to come and pray with these people. We're going to trust God just to pray with them. Please quickly, Derek, you guys, just come and facilitate here. I'll be coming around as well. I'm going to end off, and I want to ask you to just, while we are praying for the people here in front, to
just respect the moment for what it is. Let's go and enjoy some nice coffee at the back there at the kitchen. So let's just end. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that your tangible presence here, Father God, will just filter our lives, Father God, that will soothe our pain, and Father God will bring us to the place of victory where we walk in your anointing in the name of Jesus. Father, I sent these people out here, Father, today, commissioning them to change Franschhoek, Father God, to change the lives of so many that need you desperately. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.